Goals. That's what we like to do on this show. Find the comedy goals.
I just like non-fungible as a word.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful, it just has a good mouth feel.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Madnair on the board. And it was two-ish weeks ago. We covered this story a little bit, and I knew that I wanted to get someone on as a guest to talk more at length about it, because all I knew was from a Wisconsin Watch, actually this was Appleton Post-Crescent article, saying that complaints surge at short-staffed Wisconsin senior living facilities. Residents go without medication and basic care, and really a fairly in-depth article about what's happening with our senior living centers and facilities and nursing homes across the state. And so we do have a guest who I'm very excited to talk to. Renee Eastman is with Leading Age Wisconsin. And I would love to just start with, what is Leading Age Wisconsin, Renee?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, Kristen. I'm always happy to talk to people about the challenges facing our senior living industry. And that's basically what Leading Age Wisconsin does. So we're a membership association of nursing homes and assisted living facilities, mainly nonprofit and mission-driven organizations throughout the state that take care of our aging elders, kind of like the Tavern League for nursing homes.
Ah, that is a good.
That's a good way to put
that
it.
That is a good way to put it. we all know the Tavern League. And so, you know, and I think about this, and I think about my aging family members, and I think my parents are not there, but with other family members, I read this, and it is terrifying as far as what is happening. And it doesn't seem like there's a very good or very straightforward solution. And so before we kind of get into all of that, how would you summarize what's happening right now in Wisconsin when it comes to senior living facilities, nursing homes? And we can get into what the difference between those two are as well later.
Sure. Well, you're right that there are no straightforward solutions. You know, if there was an easy fix, we would have come up with it already. So not to add to the depressing woes of society, but the folks who work in senior living and nursing homes right now are really downtrodden coming out of the pandemic. We've seen a lot of burnout, and people continue to leave that industry in a time in our state where the population is only aging. And I think people who work in the healthcare field or are really trying to be tuned in, are aware of the aging of the population of the state of Wisconsin, but the general population is maybe not.
Yeah.
And I do worry very seriously about folks who aren't yet in the stage of life where they have to worry about an aging parent, but will be faced with that. And I think when that happens, that they'll become acutely aware of the challenges of finding a really high quality facility that they can trust with their loved one.
Because the way I read this article and even had read about things previously, so there's the part of quality care, and quality care is harder to find because of the staffing shortages. It's not that because these people are abusive or whatever. It's just that there is not enough people to necessarily take care of the amount of people who are in some of these facilities. And then facilities are also closing. So there's the ability that there's not even enough places to go to. And it's the fact that as of right now, your Medicare does not cover long-term care. And I don't know if everyone knows that.
Right. I think people, you know, they have insurance in their working years. They're not familiar with even maybe the difference between Medicare and Medicaid or what happens as they age. Signing up for Medicare can be a really challenging process for people, choosing a Medicare Advantage plan or what they want to do. People worry about saving for retirement, but one of the biggest question marks is retirement is whether you'll need long-term care services. And that's a really expensive endeavor that's hard to save for. And it's also really challenging for people to think about mentally. So I think they think, well, I hope I hope that doesn't happen to me. You know, I hope I don't get dementia. I hope, you know, I die in my sleep one day and I am not burdening my family. So with them, you know, not having that at the forefront of their minds and not saving for it or not having the resources to save for it, it is a really challenging problem.
We're talking to Renee Eastman, who's the Vice President of Financial and Regulatory Services at Leading Age Wisconsin, which is a statewide association of nursing homes and other long-term care providers. And so as far as the solutions, because what is the number one issue that you think we could fix first? Is it staffing?
Staffing is the primary issue. Certainly lots of things are tied to staffing.
Yeah.
So money helps with staffing. It's not a cure-all, but higher reimbursement and paying more fair wages to these individuals that are doing the hard work helps keep them from leaving and draw more of them into the field. Respect for the industry is another important one that, you know, people are burning out, kind of becomes a vicious cycle of the fewer, you know, the more emotionally taxed the people seeking care are, the easier it is for them to lash out at their caregivers. There's a lot more challenging folks to care for with behavioral problems, people that are just harder to care for a lot of reasons, and that's harder work. So respect for the industry and really valuing the work that caregivers do is another way that we can help solve the staffing problem.
It's interesting because immediately my brain goes to the times we've talked about teachers and the times we've talked about childcare and so much of the service work that just goes underappreciated and doesn't get the respect that it deserves as far as the people who are literally taking care of other people and how much more they deserve than what they typically get from the general public. And so one of the things so that you said as far as staffing is it comes back to being able to pay them more. And so what is kind of the landscape of Medicare versus Medicaid when it comes to long-term care in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so Medicare, your federal benefit, has really limited coverage for nursing home stays. They might cover a nursing home for really a few weeks to up to a couple of months after a surgery, or if you have a skilled rehabilitative need, if you had a knee replacement or something like that. But that coverage is less and less likely as healthcare advances have been made. People are more commonly going home to rehab from those type of events and not going to skilled nursing. And Medicare really doesn't cover any sort of long-term needs in an assisted living or very limited personal care or home health care needs. If people want to stay in their home and have someone come in to help with cleaning or meals or transportation, those aren't Medicare benefits. So in order to access those, folks pay for them privately with their own assets. Until they have spent down their resources enough to become eligible for the state assistance, which is Medicaid.
And so, and then Medicaid, so basically you have to
go through everything.
You have to spend everything, and then you'll be able to get Medicaid. And Medicaid does cover long-term care, but the reimbursement rates are still pretty low. And so is it true that then there's cases where private living facilities can deny you?
Certainly. If you go, you know, seek admission to an assisted living and you're already on Medicaid, you've already spent down all of your assets, you're much less likely to be admitted than someone who has years worth of resources to pay them their costs. You know, simply from a financial perspective, those places are businesses. Mm-hmm. And they can't, you know, if they accept too many Medicaid residents, then they're shifting, you know, and charging the folks who are spending their assets even higher amounts, which they is not fair as well. So that's a problem. Also, the Medicaid program presupposes a certain amount of natural supports, and a lot of people are forced to rely on things like paid family caregivers, or even to get a reliable caregiver to show up to take care of you at home. You might have to find a neighbor who's willing to do it to accept the Medicaid rate, anyone else like that.
So we only have a couple minutes left, but as far as, is there any laws or policies being discussed that you think could alleviate this, especially knowing that what is it called? The silver tsunami that both the state and the country, I mean, is only going to be increasing?
Yeah, certainly at a federal level, immigration reform would help. Okay. There are many qualified nurses in the Philippines and other countries that want to come to the United States and they have that caregiving culture and want to be able to perform that type of work. So immigration reform would help. At the state level, Wisconsin Medicaid is renewing their family care waiver. Family care is the state program that covers assisted living. And the waiver is the state contract with the federal government about how they do so. So there's some public hearings, public input sessions coming up, and that'll be going through the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee in the next year.
Got it. And in the last minute that we have left, what do you hope that people, like you said, there's the general public that kind of maybe has blinders on from thinking this won't happen to me or I'll deal with it later. But what do you think is the most important thing for either someone who is retirement age or people who have parents who are getting older should know and be able to prepare themselves for, you know, long-term facility care?
Yeah, I guess talk with your family members, have that open dialogue. And if you have the means to do so, look for opportunities in your community to volunteer at these types of places. Our seniors have a lot to teach us, and it's really a really growth experience to be able to do whatever you can, you know, deliver Meals on Wheels or get to your county aging and disability resource center and see what you can do to help.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Renee Eastman is the Vice President of the Financial and Regulatory Services at Leading Age Wisconsin. Thank you so much for spending time with us today and educating us more on a really important issue that's affecting a lot of people in our state.
And it's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a great day. All right. We're going to take a short break. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, am I still fun? Jane, thanks. Jane, am I still fun?
You are super fun.
Okay, good. All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer. Fill in a form. Mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And a quick plug, I guess, for me, sure. Tomorrow at 3, I'm doing an event with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, a discussion on local revenue reform. So I will be interviewing David Crowley, and we're also going to have Rob Henkin, who is the president of Wisconsin Policy Forum, which is funny because I've never interviewed Rob, but we've obviously interviewed a lot of people from Wisconsin Policy Forum. And
yes.
So I get to finally meet Rob himself,
nice.
who is the president. And so it's a live event that we're doing at the Milwaukee Athletic Club, but also we are live streaming it. And so I will put the link to the event tomorrow so anyone can watch. If you have questions that you would like for me to ask the county executive, feel free to email me at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Don't text them just because I will probably forget as far as my prepping tonight for the questions I plan to ask tomorrow. But yeah, so it's going to be on the Facebook live stream. You can go to the Milwaukee County Executive's Facebook page and find it easily, but I will also link it to today's show notes. But I am looking forward to that because as much as I love doing the radio, I also really love doing live events. And so I was very flattered to be asked to do that. And then another plug, not for me at all, but there's been a couple different times that we have talked about Robert Reich, who was the labor secretary under Clinton. and how I was very lucky to have him as a professor when I was in college. And that exact class that he teaches at Berkeley, called Wealth and Poverty, is now uploaded entirely to YouTube for free.
Cool.
And I saw that in one of my roundups for today, that he's put all of his lectures of that class on YouTube. And literally, it's if you just on YouTube search Robert Reich, Wealth and Poverty.
Such a smart man.
It's 14 different lectures. And there's a part of me, I don't know if I have time to do it, but there's a part of me that would totally go back and rewatch
and
these.
It. I bet.
So yeah.
That's very cool. 844-967-2789 if you ever want to call and or text. We were just talking to Renee Eastman from Leading Age Wisconsin about the challenges facing state nursing homes and long care facilities. Joe from Appleton is joining us. Good morning, Joe. What did you want to say?
Hi, ladies. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you for having Renee on. I love Leading Age Wisconsin. It's a great organization. So I'm an elder law attorney.
Oh.
And there are certain things that I think everybody should know on top of what Renee raised. Okay?
Okay.
If it's at least 66% of the folks are going to be needing some form of long-term care in the future, it is stupid expensive. It's just going to get more expensive. It's going to be $150,000 a year at a nursing home by the end of this decade. I tell all my clients, ideally, you have each individual, you have $250,000 sitting out there ready to spend on your long-term care needs. Now, for if you have a big 401k, that's where it's going to come from. But ideally, for everybody, you get a good insurance product. Now, I don't sell long-term care insurance. There aren't too many people who do anymore. But if you can get a good insurance product that's going to cover you for at least $250,000, that's going to be best for you. It's going to be best for the facilities. It's going to be best for Medicaid in the long run, because right now, Medicaid is spending way too little because it doesn't have that much money thanks to the way the state's set up, and everybody who's on Medicaid in a facility, it's paltry what they're getting in the reimbursement. So ideally, if you could pay privately with insurance, that's going to be best for everybody involved. Personally, I'm terrified of our long-term care system in this country and what it's going to be in the next 10 years. We're in for a heap of trouble if we all don't get our act together.
Joe, so I'm 63. I'm concerned that at this age, no one is going to give me that kind of an insurance policy. Do people have to start signing up for this when they're in their 50s?
I usually say 50s or early 60s. 63 is still early 60s, okay?
Okay.
So that's you. Talk to somebody. Find an agent. Just run, run through the options. There will be likely policy options for you. Just see what's out there. Insurance is not going to be for everybody. There are alternatives for it. That's when they start coming to me. But ideally, you get a good policy in place, and it could be worth the while for you and your family down the line.
That is really good advice. Thank you for calling, Joe. That is because that is someone actually, Joe. Oh, I think is this Joe McClear? That was Joe McClear, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So he did say he would left on the Facebook live stream too that get long term care insurance, and earlier the better, because
right.
I think probably the more pre-existing conditions you already have, it may implicate your ability to get long-term care insurance.
Exactly.
And as much as I think insurance is a racket sometimes.
It is a racket.
It's, but in that situation, because I mean, it's $5,000 to $10,000 a month for some of these places. And of course, when it comes, it's the same thing when you talk about your kid. It's the same thing when you talk about a couple months ago when Cliffy was sick, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
When it comes to the people that you care about, you want them to get the best care, and you start to think, well, I don't care how expensive it is. Like, I want you to be taken care of. And you just don't think it's going to happen to you.
We would all love to die in our sleep at home. That'd be wonderful.
And we'd all love to be as healthy as my grandmother, shout out Carol Bry, who's in her early 90s, still living at home and healthy and plays golf and is totally mentally sharp. And, I really hope I got her genes. I don't know if I did. and protect yourself and also advocate for what we can do actually policy-wise, because this is going to affect everybody and it's going to affect the state aggressively. So we're going to have some more fun in the next segment because I recently got called out for not being fun anymore.
Oh,
I think I'm still fun, but balancing facts and news and humor is hard. So what is that right balance? We're going to ask that in the next segment. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Still fun, but this comment kind of broke my heart. Do I need to go try like all of the new Wisconsin State Fair food? Because I'll do it.
So, story time. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And I will preface this with the goal of As Goes Wisconsin since the inception, which is
long before the radio show.
So this started in April 2020. And if you don't know the backstory, I originally came back. I was living in Los Angeles. I came back thinking I was going to try to make a documentary about the Wisconsin election and the different targeted demographics that were going to be the linchpin to winning Wisconsin. And then the pandemic hit. And all the interviews I had set up weren't going to happen. I also didn't really know how to make a documentary, let's be honest. But what I did know how to do was make videos. And before I was on the radio, what I was really good at was social media videos. And the whole premise was, how do you use humor to spread information? It was edutainment, infotainment, whatever you want to call it. It was, you know, the aspirational Daily Show, Last Week Tonight. Like, how do you use humor to convey information and make things more simple. And so that first video was me showing my mom how to get an absentee ballot.
That's right.
And making fun of her because not always the best at technology, but I imagine that is a common,
it's accurate,
you know, relatable thing when younger kids are trying to help their parents with technology. And I looked at the process of trying to upload your driver's license to myvote.wi.gov. And I was like, oh, a ton of people are going to get confused. And they did.
Yep.
Young people were sending selfies in. Not even older people, but they're like, you know, not realizing they had to take a picture of their ID and figuring out how to upload that. And now it's more ubiquitous and stuff. But at the time, everyone was like, how, you know, it was not that straightforward. And it was funny. And a lot of my videos that first year were the dynamic between my mom and I. And When I wasn't balancing the radio show, like, I had more time to constantly find creative angles to talk about the news and then also do sports and state fair and stuff like that. Since starting the show, not only doing as many videos, but also finding the really fun angle and like the creative way to talk about it,
right,
while also doing the show, has been harder to do. Also being pregnant. Which I'm just going to keep using as a scapegoat. But
use it while you got it, girl.
And so I had made, you know, a couple videos in a row feeling like it was important to get the information out on my TikTok and my Instagram, which you should go follow at As Goes Wisconsin.
For sure, TikTok. You've done some great, great videos.
And there was one recently trying to summarize not only what had happened to Melissa Temple, the Waukesha teacher who was recently fired, but what we talked about on the show, things happening across the state as far as school boards, and are we, you know, questioning, are we focused on the right things in school? If we're trying to fix learning loss and teacher shortage, is this going to help us and get us to where we want to be to keep talking about these culture war issues? And someone left a comment, Baby Shark left a comment that just, and it takes a lot to get it under my skin when it's an anonymous commenter on the internet. But he said, dude, I remember when your channel was fun.
Ouch.
And I read it and I was like, man. Because I do pride myself in trying to find that balance of what we do on this show, what I do with my videos, of finding the balance of information. Every once in a while when it's required, getting really fired up, but also trying to bring humor and levity to two things. And so when he said that, that was the follow-up video I made saying, do I need to go eat all the food at Wisconsin State Fair?
Something wacky.
Which I think I will do. And to, you know, there was a ton of people in the comments who came to my defense who were very complimentary of what I do and how I do it. But I think it's an interesting question that any of the shows that at least I aspire to do, to be like, Daily Show, Last Week Tonight, I mean, Samantha Bee's show is not on anymore, is that balance of finding the joke, finding the creative angle, finding the interesting take that doesn't just knee-jerk reaction into what could be anger or, anger and outrage. And so I guess, you know, what is that balance that I guess you look for? Maybe, and some people don't like it, right? Some people sure. Don't want the news to be funny.
Right.
And, you know, that's probably for people who are not listening now in Madison and are still listening to Tom Hartman. and this show, very different than Tom Hartman's show.
Yes, it certainly is.
And that's okay, because there's so much content out there that you can pick and choose what you want to, what feeds you and how you like to take in information.
But your whole tagline is moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time.
Yeah.
It just explains it right there.
Yeah. But the important part of that is that we need to still have jokes.
Yes. Well, yes, which I think you do an excellent job of again, balancing the fun with balancing the facts.
That is the hope. But I guess, I guess that's the question. And I don't even, it's kind of an esoteric question because not everyone's job is to balance, like the what is the right balance between facts and fun. But I guess if you have thoughts on this, 844-967-2789, that's 844-96-PARTY.
Is Baby Shark right? Has Kristen just not fun anymore? from the 541, Kristen, you have two brains at the moment, so you are twice as fun.
There we go.
And also, I think you've done a good job making things digestible, like a good salad. It has important facts spiced up with a fun seasoning.
Am I the goat cheese in the salad?
Oh, sure. You can be the goat cheese. If you want to be a goat.
I ever see a salad, or mostly if I ever see anything on a menu that has goat cheese in it, that's what I'm going to order, because I love that flavor.
I do too.
And I appreciate that. And this is not a call for me to try to get compliments for you to compliment me. But it is interesting because I think, you know, and I think about this as a content creator. Like, I have good friends, one of which is, you know, Alex Worley, who, if you are, I spend any time on social media, you've probably seen her stuff come up. She's very pretty. We've done a couple videos together, and her stuff is like very quintessential Wisconsin jokes. Like the one she did this week is like the five stages of going to a Brewer game, or, you know, and it's really light. It's really fun. It's very Wisconsin. And it's interesting because there's been times where I've had this conversation with Mike as far as like the kind of stuff that I want to make. And I look at her stuff and I see how popular she is. And I see how many people engage with the content that she makes. I also see the commercials and brand deals that she gets. And ultimately, like, that's also just not me.
Right.
You know, like, it, what drives me is doing the newsy part and the challenge of making that fun and sometimes funny. And that's where I want to live, even if it means less brand deals, less of an audience. And I'm okay with that. But it is the important part of, for me, continuing to remember that it's to find the funny.
Right. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Is Baby Shark right? Is Kristen no longer fun? And also, and we've asked this many times before too, if there is something that you think we should be addressing or covering, all you got to do is let us know.
Yeah. And we do get, I mean, we actually, we have someone coming on August 7th, I think we have someone who's coming on who was someone who emailed in, and it was it's about breast cancer. And it's a woman who's actually, I think it's a bill that's going to be proposed in the legislature. And so we certainly, as much as we can get back to people who have suggestions or would like to come on the show, we try to get back to you as quickly as we can and make it work. So always feel free to shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin at civicmedia.us.
844-967-2789. Tom from Madison. Hey, Tom, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, great. Yeah, I would say that humor is the one thing that our side has that the other side simply doesn't. Do you remember when Trump was first elected in 2016, Michael Moore he was there, I think, in New York at one of the election sites, and he said we should form armies of comedians because he can't take humor. He doesn't understand humor.
Yeah.
There are no iconic conservative comedians. They don't exist. And I think it's just the way that you can get a message across really, really well. I'm a big Tom Hartman fan, but I'm listening to this show because it's Wisconsin, and it is, you know, Wisconsin is the petri dish of politics.
It absolutely is. I mean, that's why the show is called As Goes Wisconsin, because as goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. But thank you, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
That we, you know, that you chose us over Tom Hartman. That's a big compliment.
You bet. You take care. Have a great one.
You too.
You too.
And that is true. You know, and I don't know why that is. I would say some people might say that Joe Rogan's both one a comedian and conservative, but that's probably up for debate.
That's a big debate.
He does own a comedy store or comedy club.
Well, okay, then you have to buy, if you have to buy your own venue so you can perform as a comic, that kind of takes away a little bit from your credibility.
I will say, before he had his podcast, I did see him perform comedy, and I did laugh.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay. But I think it has to do with irony and being able to recognize irony and some self-awareness.
Well, I think it's irony. I think it's also being able to, and this is what, you know, the original Daily Show in the early stages, it wasn't a leftist show. It was poking fun of the media. It was poking fun of news. It was poking fun of cable news and how the surface levelness of it, the you know, if you think, what was it, what year was it when they did the rally for sanity?
Oh, with Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
And Stephen Colbert. And like, think about how much the world has changed since they did that.
Wow,
and it was
right
in DC. And like John Stewart's book that came out right around that time. And that was like the George Bush that was before Obama. So this was a long time ago. And it wasn't so much that they were advocating for Democrats or the left. It was pointing out hypocrisy. It was pointing out stupidity. It was pointing out it was doing what comedians are supposed to do best, which is like punch up at the powers that be and challenge them in a way that makes you think differently. And it's what's so powerful, I think, about comedians and how they can do that. And I'm not even putting myself in the people who are really, really good at this. And I was going to save this for tomorrow because I'm still debating whether or not I want, do we have time to play the Trey Crowder thing?
We can, sure. We got to go right now.
Okay.
I was all fired up by the Jason Aldean song, Try That in a Small Town. But I'm from a very, very, very small town, so I was interested in this story. One of the first lyrics of this song is like, hey, try carjacking an old lady at a red light, right? And I was like, a red light? What is this, Times Square? Legend has it they tried to install some red lights on the square in my hometown in the 80s, but that didn't take. Because, I kid you not, people kept shooting them out in the middle of the night. Now, I was like, Jason Aldean don't know what he's singing about, right? And he's from Macon, Georgia. Have y'all heard of Macon, Georgia? Yeah, that means it's not a small town. the fact that you've heard of it, right? I looked it up, they got a Target. It's about big Paris, dude. When I first saw the song, Try That in a Small Town, I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was going to be something like, you know, find a good pizza, a piece of pizza. Try that in a small town. Be a gay teenager. Try that in a small town.
So we'll talk more about it after the break, but I feel like I found that last night because it's the most, you know, recent controversy. So we'll talk about that and comedy and the gold of it on the other side of the break, and we'll wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and just wrapping up our conversation around using comedy to talk about more serious issues. And we played a clip I found last night of Trey Crowder.
Who I love.
Who is great.
Yes,
he's
great.
And, you know, he is from a very small town. He's got a thick Southern accent. And he took on this whole Jason Aldean, Try That in a Small Town controversy that's erupted over the last week that I haven't even broached because I'm just like, this feels overblown altogether and just another thing that people are picking sides on. And you can tell me I'm wrong, but I think it was that I hadn't figured out, like, what is the how do I actually feel about this? And it's funny coming from him when he made into, you know, a stand-up routine quickly was not, is this racist? Is this not racist? But talking about, like, is this talking about a small town? Like, are we talking about the same kind of town? And also challenging if he's even from a small town and talking from experience. And I love what he ends with is like, when I heard try it in a small town, it's like all the challenge of like the things you really can't do in a small town, like try being gay in a small town.
Right.
And you know, and I think it's, that is what I find so interesting and powerful about, like, a comedian's angle on news and facts and the zeitgeist is thinking about it critically and kind of poking holes in the things that, like, don't quite add up instead of just the immediate reactionary, I disagree or I wholeheartedly agree, we have to pick sides. And it's like, I think there's a little bit more gray here to, like, pick apart and make fun of.
And I think that's one of the things that makes you unique and your approach so unique is because you are very thoughtful about these things.
I try to be.
You are. You again, the amount of information that you consume and the thought that goes into the topics that you select and the angles that you take get out of it. Because you take your time with it and you don't do those reactionary things. And I think that's very unique.
Well, thanks.
I do.
Should we talk about the Jason Aldean thing tomorrow?
Sure.
Do you have thoughts on the Jason Aldean thing?
Sure. I do.
All right. Well, that is a good preview. I'm sure Greg Bach has thoughts on the Jason Aldean thing.
I have no doubt about that. And remember, you can always call and or text and use your app to text us directly as well at 844-967-2789. Do we want to talk about this text in the couple of minutes that we have left?
I was either going to talk about that or I was going to end in a fun story from a Wisconsin man won a contest recently.
Oh, I know what it is.
All right. On his 68th birthday, a white-bearded Wisconsin man won the Hemingway Lookalike Contest. Highlight of Key West's annual Hemingway Days celebration that ended on Sunday. Garrett Marshall, if you're listening, he's a Madison resident.
Hey!
He's a retired television broadcast engineer, lives in Madison, and he prevailed this over the weekend at Sloppy Joe's Bar, a frequent hangout of Ernest Hemingway when he lived in Key West in the 1930s.
Wow.
He said, Marshall said, "This is the best birthday I've ever had." So congratulations. And literally there's a picture with him and past winners. And they literally look like clones of each other. They all look with white beards, look like Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, that is so
an
funny.
Old Ernest Hemingway.
Right, right. That's really funny. Well, well done, Marshall. It's we all want to hit those life goals, you know?
You know, and no one can ever take that away from you.
No. It's yours.
All right, now we can
it's yours to do with as you will. From the 414, oh, Jane, young Jane, it's sad but true that presently there isn't much humor in the facts. Jane, you and Matt Flynn are the only two close to my age. Matt is older, but you claim to be 63. I don't know why I would claim to be 63. I was born March 18th, 1960. I'm going to bet I've got you by a few months. I love the show. Bad news for you, 414. I was born in January of 1960. And if I was going to be claimed to be something, it shouldn't, would sure wouldn't.
It would sure be younger.
Maybe I should say, no, I'm actually 70. And then people will say, God, you look so good for 70.
All right. Well, then coming up tomorrow, maybe we will kick off the show with the Jason Aldean controversy. I'll have to pick apart my thoughts on, you know, the that culture war thing. There's a lot of takes to be had on
sure.
it. But there's also just, what the hell is going on with country music in general? Because there was stuff at Country Thunder with a TMJ reporter that apparently, you know,
she was just covering the event.
She was covering the event and got called the N-word. They're also, at that same event, apparently someone was flying the Confederate flag. And it's interesting, and I want to do some more research because, you know, people who are like old school country fans, of like old country was like anarchists, right? It was people who were against
outlaws.
Not even outlaws. It was people who were against capitalism. It was against fascism. It was against the man. It was like it was revolutionary type lyrics and music. And now it's like, what is country music now? And who, like, what does it stand for? And I think that there's a lot to unpack there as far as like, did he just make this song for money? Like, does he actually even believe the things that he says? Because definitely Toby Keith was like all about that patriotic music post 9/11 and like pretty sure he's a Democrat, you know? So we'll kick off the show tomorrow with that. But also we are going to have some EAA features
yes.
tomorrow because I drove past those lands or those grounds over the weekend and it is packed
yes.
in Oshkosh right now. So I know we're going to, Civic Media is going to have some live coverage from the event all weekend long. So we'll talk about that.
And Dick Napinski from the EAA will be joining us.
Perfect. And then obviously it's Wednesday, so Greg Bach will be here. So we have a great show planned for tomorrow. But as for today, thank you to Renee Eastman for being here. Thank you to Dan Schaefer for being here. Thank you for texting, calling, all of it. And, you know, you guys help make the show. It's not just us.
No, that's for sure.
So,
and I am 70, by the way.
You're not 70. Don't lie to the people,
she
Jane.
She looks so good.
All right. Come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.